or yesterday.
Well, why don't we go ahead and convene the meeting? We don't have a quorum here yet at this point, but we anticipate we will have a quorum at some point. Maybe we can jump to a few items on the agenda that don't require formal votes to deal with. So I'll call the meeting of the Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission to order here today on December 16th. Members have had a chance to look at the agenda. Any additions, questions on the items? Yep, and Jeff, you had one I know that I thought we'd cover under your trusted submitter.
She's got it on
the topic on there. On the, yep. She added it too.
She
added it. Yep, that's great. And so why don't we go ahead with the minutes? The minutes from last month will be forthcoming. There has been a number of changes in the last month here, in case you haven't noticed, in the state of Minnesota. One of which is very important to us, is that Sally has had a baby, and I think that's wonderful news and exciting. However, it's doubled Diane's workload at the same time that we had this election that's led to a new administration coming in the governor's office, but it's also led to a leadership change in the House and the Senate. And our staff people work for the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and they work really at the direction of the legislature. So there's a whole lot of changes that our staff have encountered, and I'm the one you can blame. Told the staff that if they did not have minutes for us today, that was okay. We would hope to have minutes that will be available before our MAKO meeting come January. But you can blame me for the indulgence, and I have a little sympathy for what they're going through right now. And anyway, but that's where the minutes are at, and we will deal with it as a commission, and we'll get them approved and get them out for people. But that's kind of some things that are going on here in the state of Minnesota. Anyway, the one item that we had on the last meeting that we spent a lot of time on was item number 4 on the agenda, the ratification of the documents approved at November 22nd. We had a telephone conference call that did take place the following Monday after our commission meeting, because we wanted to just make certain that we had gotten the temperature for all of the members that were not here at that particular meeting, because we didn't have a quorum, as you might remember, at that time. And at that time, for all of the comments that did come in, there was a unanimity of those on the line to approve the additional documents that we had dealt with here at the commission. And I wanted to just put it on here, and maybe we even take a formal vote to ratify the action that we took on the telephone conference call, if people are all right with that, or if there was any questions from the audience or anywhere else. We can wait until we've got a full membership for formal action on it. But I just wanted to update everybody as to what took place on the telephone conference call. It was a good short meeting discussion, and everyone on the commission that was there did approve the adoption of those new document types, which I was certainly glad to hear. And with that, we can probably go on to star that one to come back and help me remember all of you to make sure we come back to that if Kay gets here so that we can do a vote on that one too. Let's go on to the ECRV update. Jason has graciously agreed to come and give us kind of a little update. I think there are some things that have been going on that are exciting, and there are some things that he's probably a little disappointed on, and we can talk a little bit about where the counties are at and some things that perhaps can share with everybody that I've learned in the last month. And I'm hoping Kay will be here to help me with it as well, because we've both done a little ground plowing to find out where the counties are at and why there's been a little hesitancy, shall we say, to move forward with the deeds and the mortgages at this point. But anyway, Jason, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. Thank you, Mike. I haven't had a stampede of counties asking to sign up for e-recording. I did visit Wabasha a week and a half ago, and they immediately signed up. So they saw that there really was no penalty for a county, to sign up. Other than maybe a submitter believing that they could, submit, and the county and the infrastructure maybe not quite ready, who knows? But they thought that they were ready and that their infrastructure would handle it, and I believe that they work with Simplifile, I believe. So that's good news. And I spoke with all the reps. The reps had their monthly meeting yesterday, and I spoke with all of them, and I gave them specifically the list of all the e-recording counties and enlisted them to help us spread the word and get the e-recording counties signed up for doing ECRB. So we've got some feet on the ground to try to help that. And based on what you just said in the introduction, Mike, about finding out why other reasons there might be that counties are hesitating, I think that that'll be a good effort, and we'll keep the pressure on. Because we really believe that we're going to get to the full ECRV midsummer, and we're going to start aggressively getting some counties testing in that process. So the e-recording piece is a great way to get them familiar with the process and do a phased use of the ECRV tool. So I'm going to be going to regional meetings during the next 6 months. I'm speaking at the conference that you talked about here in January on the 13th. It's the day I speak in the afternoon. There's the MAAO conference in May and the MCCC conference in June that I'll be at. And so that's what I have to report on the activity of getting the counties going for e-recording.
Very good. Questions anybody want to ask of Jason?
Do we have a status of who's in testing right now, or is that...
you mean in terms of the full?
Yeah.
In the full case, we've got, Blue Earth has just requested their login, so they will be getting their logins very shortly. We've got Olmsted. We've got Sherburn. See, I've got a piece of paper in my pocket that has this listed. Sherburn, Hennepin, Olmsted, Steele has logins, Clay County has logins, although they currently are using the e-recording piece, Blue Earth has logins, Washington has logins. Those are the counties that we have logins for testing purposes. And they will be getting access to the new version of the what we call County Version 2. So that's the portion of the app that the county logs into after the submission process happens. And we're going to start testing with that, starting with Dakota and Hennepin at first in January, maybe late January, early February, somewhere in there. And then as we feel comfortable and able to handle feedback, we're going to expand that to the other counties because we want them to be working with that new version.
And this is the version, as I've understood, and correct me, Jason, if I'm wrong, but it will make it possible for a county to go in and view the electronic submission from the customer?
Well, it's the full ECRV, so... The submission, the only thing that the county needs is the ID.
Right.
Whether it came electronically, whether it came across the counter at the desk at paper, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So, but it's the version that they will be able to, yes, log in and view the ECRV electronically without it being printed out.
Right.
One thing that's on... the development team has reoriented priorities just a little bit, or actually able to reassess how fast they're moving, and the new hires that they hired in the fall have worked out extremely well. So we're hoping to actually update the front-end submission form at the same time as providing the county version. And by doing so, we have the opportunity, not that the decision has been made, but there's the opportunity to make the electronic form available for any submission of CRV, regardless of whether a county is using the back-end portion or not. They could just use the front-end form, print it out, and bring it into the county. The challenge there is you know, can we get all the counties to be aware of that? So the e-recording piece is an important process in accomplishing that, because if we can get all the e-recording counties on board as being registered and at least aware of it, regardless of whether they're actually processing it. That means that, well, I've got 30 of 80 counties, you know, that are aware. And so that means that we're more likely to be able to open up the FRAN form for submissions electronically, at least on the submitting side.
On the submitting side.
Earlier. And I think if we're able to do that, it will put a little bit of a fire, you know, a friendly fire, if you will, underneath counties to get moving and to sign up for the full ECRE.
Now, when that becomes available, or if that were to become available for submitters to submit electronically, will counties still have the choice then at that point to submit in their current process the information that comes to the state? Or are you going to require assessors to have to go online and submit it through the electronic process, which means the counties are going to have to do double work?
No, there's not a requirement for them to sign up to ECRV at this point.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is encourage them to do so. And then this also makes it...
Encourage assessors? Or now, what are we... I'm talking about what will the expectation be of assessors on CRVs that come in electronically?
Well, if the county hasn't signed up and have logins to log into the system and look at the ECRVs that way...
Right.
They can, if they get a CRV, if the submitter, they can bring in a paper copy of the ECRV, and it's got the county data section on the bottom, and the county can hand write in the data just like they do today.
Okay, so a county could process it like it was
absolutely
a paper CRV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. By printing a copy of it out.
And in fact, that's what the whole idea is to say, well, this is a way of getting the front end portion of ECRV available statewide in advance of the ability for counties to feel comfortable about signing up for the full ECRV at the moment.
That's great.
That's really good. Will it print the Social Security number or not?
No, because, so, see, that's the advantage of the whole... That's one advantage right there, is that the pink part of the form is not relevant.
So if we want to submit, let's say, Ramsey County, at that point when it's ready, we can create online, print it, and submit it like we would the three-part form.
Yeah. So part of the phasing process of, you know, the issue here is County C, when that new version of the CRV shows up at their counter, are they going to go, whoa, what's this? You know, they got to know what it is, and they got to know that it's okay. And that awareness process is not a slam dunk, as you know. So I think the phasing here that we're doing, there's two pieces. One's a technology component, in that the development consolidation of what they're doing, the development side, is completed by the midsummer. And the second thing is the phased awareness. So part of the important part of the phased awareness is let's get the e-recording counties on board with the e-recording, because that's the same process.
Right.
It's the same thing, except that they're not getting a printed copy on the counter. They're getting it through an electronic submission.
Okay.
Now, what I've said, and I think I said this at the last meeting too, you know, so Clay, you know, asked me, or Wabashaw asked me, you know, well, if somebody, you know, now that they're on, they have the pull down, so someone can do a submission, they can select Wabashaw, and Wabashaw does not have logins, so they cannot log in, or Martin. If they select that, and then they take that PDF and they print it right there in their office, and then they hand deliver the printed copy of the PDF, you know, can we accept that? And you know, the not out loud answer is yeah, of course you can accept that. DOR doesn't really know the difference of how you got that printed copy, and we don't really care. Just officially, we're saying we're trying to limit it to the electronic pieces, just for awareness purposes of getting it going.
That's the first time I've ever heard DOR say that what they don't know won't hurt them. Did you hear that coming? That was very nice, Jason. I did appreciate hearing that.
We like it.
This may be my last ERA.
Jason, I appreciate the real significant difference here that I think is really important. Is you're basically going to say to submitters, if a county is signed up for electronic recording, submitters could really go in and submit all their ECRVs in that county electronically. They could submit them with a PDF if they chose to do so electronically through whatever the submission tool is. But even if they choose not to do the submission tool and if they record electronically, the county will be able to go in because they've got to give us the number that they get when they do their electronic form, and we can now access that online at the county and do our thing in terms of recording the document. And you're not, and this is the difference from what I've heard in the past, you're not going to require an assessor to have to go into that electronic system and submit all of their data electronically. They can still do it the old-fashioned way until we get to maybe midsummer when maybe there's some upload-download capabilities involved.
There's one misspoke in the scenario that you described,
all right.
And that is that they're not using the full ECRV, so the county does not have any logins to go look at it electronically. They're getting the PDF or they're getting a printed copy.
But they're not doing double duty like you had mentioned. I mean, if at that point they're taking the printed copy and with their old system, right? Because they don't have anything to do double duty with.
Right. Now that would be an additional phased difference that you're just describing. That's certainly possible, but not before the summer version of the application. I will bring that to the attention of DOR to say that, look, part of the process wants to log in. Another part of the process doesn't want to log in. See, that's introducing a new wrinkle. Not a bad idea. Just saying it's a new wrinkle. It's not what I described.
Well, instead of... If I was...
Well, what I heard you describe, though, is you told me in January when this goes live, counties will be able to go in and call it up and view the electronic version of the CRV. That's what you just said.
The full version of the ECRV is when a county has the logins, okay? And so then they can come in and they can view the electronic CRV, and the intent there is to walk through the entire process electronically and submit to the state via the ECRV system. That's the intent of that process. The e-recording version of ECRV is that the submitters can use the electronic front-end form, and they get a PDF, and they can either, you know, submit that PDF in whatever way they wish to the county, or they could print that out and submit it to the county.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying. Some of us at the local level will have to get more creative then in how we deal with how the PDF is going to come to those of us that choose not to deal with getting it as part of the electronic package, but that will be a separate issue that we'll kick around.
I did submit an email to you and a voicemail concerning this because there was a discussion about the delay of Hennepin being able to receive a PDF file. And really, we provide the PDF, but how it gets transmitted or what format it gets transmitted to the county, we really don't care. So if a submitter were to convert that to the TIFF file that complies with the package, the county can still print that TIFF file and go on their merry way. And there's tools for converting PDF to TIFF.
Right, right. And that's the discussion that I've been having with our vendor.
Very good.
And I haven't gotten back to you about it because we haven't finalized that yet. But
sure.
That's the discussion we've been having. And I haven't had it with some of the submitters yet, but I'm assuming, just knowing how creative and enterprising they are, that would be a no-brainer to most of them.
Worst-case scenario, walk it to a scanner and image it as a TIFF. Right. I mean, that's the PDF, printed as a PDF and image it as a TIFF. That's...
Right. And there are freeware tools
to convert
that convert directly all electronic without the printing process. But I guess the important piece here is that it might have been assumed that DOR cared that it was in the PDF format in the electronic package, and that's not the case. We really don't care in what format it's in the PDF package. The intent is that it's going to be printed by the county. And once it's printed by the county, it follows the paper stream as it does today. So in what format or how it gets transmitted to the county is not something that DOR should really care about, and we don't. That's twice today.
Well, speaking on the DOR, it helps submitters so they're no longer typing. It helps the Department of Revenue because you capture and keep all of the secure data,
right.
Social Security numbers, and everyone that a submitter that has to use the new system has to also register. So you have even more data there. So once all that process is underway, that would add to the information security. But it's great to free up how once that's been created, it gets to the county to get recorded.
Right, and this is another example of the benefit of having to do it this way is that the private data has been factored out of the stream.
Right.
That's why we don't care how it got converted later. If we had a situation where the private data would be in some kind of secure package or something, then we would have, this would have been much more, a diligent process to figure out how to deal with. So. That's what I got for today.
That's exciting. Yeah. That's very good. That's very good. Jason. Any other questions for Jason? Oh, Rob.
So at this point, even though that may open up, we're still looking to have submitters register with the DOR before they use that application for whatever county.
For the time being, and I think that you can assume that that'll last until that new version that comes out in midsummer. That'll be the case. If it changes, we'll raise a flag and say, we don't care about this anymore. I was just also noticing, and I'm going to bring this back to the office, that you've got a registration for a trusted submitter. It's possible we could, if this was shareable to DOR, we could, make this do double duty. I'd certainly be willing to explore that option. So I'll bring that back to the office and ask if they don't mind. The issue is, do we have... Really, the issue is if there's something with the process, we need to be able to contact them, directly. So we just need to have the contact information of who to talk to. So if that's shareable, then we could maybe add language that would say that this works for that as well or something. So I may be in contact with you, Diane, or somebody to discuss that.
Well, Jason, we're in the public records business, so we don't have to worry about any of our information being something other than public. So you, as a member of the public and the Department of Revenue, I think qualifies even though I know they don't care, to be able to get access to that.
Well, then it's just a matter of, what I'll do is I'll look at this document. Maybe you could send me the electronic version, and I can send some edits back.
You'll have it on there. I already sent it out.
Okay, so that some language that could be added to say that it works for this process. Go to this place on the web so that you're aware of it, and then we can make this do double duty, I think, just fine.
Right. What we had originally come up with, Jason, some years ago, even before this commission started, was a basic sign-up on the part of a submitter that chose to electronically record that would basically commit them to following the standards in the state of Minnesota for electronic recording. And so they didn't have to start doing it with every individual county. They could do it with the first county they were going to do business with, and we want to get it online so that then outsiders can check and see whether it's you or anybody else to see who is signed up for electronic recording and which counties are as well. I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to get to here, and that's the end result. And if you can use that, or if you've got some suggestions of how we might modify it that would make it usable for you guys as well, we're all for that.
Great.
Yep. Yep. Anything else for Jason? Jason, you've made our day today. That's very encouraging and very exciting.
Merry Christmas.
Tell
I didn't think it was all that big a deal, but
tell Revenue that we do care and we very much appreciate that they care. So
very good.
Very good.
Just one last thing then on the, because we're going to try to finish this off today, if possible today. But with this, we would just add this later. And when do you think you could get us some language to add in?
Oh, to this.
Yeah.
Document. I could probably do it even by tomorrow, lunchtime by tomorrow before that.
Okay. Because then we could even have another one of the conference call. Because we just really, we're down to one last statement. We had made a number of changes.
Changes, yep.
We're down to one last statement, and to clarify that statement, and then we're ready, I think. Okay?
I am.
And as long as everyone else is. And then we would just add that last piece, and we could resend it. It's only a group of, what, five, I think, of us right now. We could re-sign the trustee submitter.
Right, right.
Yeah, five,
well,
six.
Then you guys would be covered, and you're half covered already anyway through through the separate registration. But you know, the only delay on my part would be I just have to, you know, run it through a couple of people over in DOR's time.
But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if we could
and it's Friday,
done
so.
In a week or
yep.
so, that we'd be...
Yep.
Would there be any changes to the process or anything like that? That would be the, still the same, right?
Yes. I don't know that we even need to take a vote on the modification that might take place, because we've basically already approved the process. It's just getting the form finalized, and I would think that perhaps the commission is probably okay to okay the chair to move forward with it if we're...
Well, and
so
the language that I would be adding would be simply to say, you know, you're aware of how the electronic with ECRV works. This is how it works. And here's where you go to get information about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
Because really the rest is just instructions. I don't know if we have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can change instructions at will, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't. It's just the form getting mm-hmm. that approved and on.
And the back, what we're talking about is the back piece to that.
Okay,
piece.
Sure.
So
and then I would put a link on our website, our e-recording,
to your site,
directing them to this document as opposed to ours.
That'd be fine.
Yep. That'd be fantastic.
Yep.
I guess the only, now that I'm thinking, I put on the submitter hat, the only gotcha would be if someone wants to e-record with ECRV, but they don't want to do all of this. Is there any reason why someone would not want to do the rest of this?
We haven't run into any apps. It's pretty minimal. I mean, a lot of it is that we'd set things up with the county, have financial relationship with the county. You would try in good faith effort submit documents electronically. You don't have to, right? I mean, it's just basically that you work within the county rules, essentially, is what the trusted submitter agreement is here, because it basically says that you'll go to the specific county, you'll get the financial arrangements going, they will work by the rules. That's kind of all it is.
That's really the issue that the submitters now have to do once they've signed up, is they need to go and arrange how they're going to make payment in that county.
And they, in order to do this for ECRV, they'd have to go through this step anyway. Yes.
Not ECRV. If you're just going to do ECRV, but
an e-recording packet.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to submit an e-recording packet,
they have to do that.
They have to do
yes.
this anyway.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I would just
no.
step in and say, not necessarily, because if I'm the initial submitter, I will be attempting to do the ECRV portion of it to get either the PDF or the receipt number to put into my package that I will use to go through a submitter such as Simplifile or another vendor. And it's that vendor who would have signed this if the submitter needs to be registered for the ECRV piece as well, then not only is my submitter going to have the registration done, but I'm going to have to do the registration as well. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's one more step in the registration. Whereas if it was just the submitting vendor that had to register, they're not necessarily going to be involved in the ECRV process.
Because they just received the PDF.
They receive, and they're the conduit.
So in a way, they're not really the sole person that we might need to contact to discuss any issue that might show up.
But if you did contact the submitter, they could get you to the
answer.
It's just one more step.
Right.
It'd be one more step than what it is.
Well, what we'll probably do then and is, you know, I'll probably keep our form available. You know, either one works.
By way of process clarification, because we have so many multi-state submitters, our contract to use Simplifile, I'm sure it's similar with other groups, is that they have to sign an agreement that they will abide by all of the state laws. And so part of us being certified in Minnesota is that we would promote all of the state laws. And if they change, then we change. So that's what Rob's talking about, too. There's a contractual, as a submitter signs up to use electronic recording. So that's what how the documents get couriered. Mm-hmm. But whether or not they've decided to turn on the Department of Revenue's CRV process, whether that's the full or the partial, would just go back to you.
Right.
And it would save steps if they're not having to do a whole bunch of forms.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else?
Clear as mud.
Yeah.
Well, e-recording is not a PayPal account. If you want to e-record, you have to take action. You have to sign up for an account. You have
right.
to be willing to sign up for the payment methodology. And then as part of that sign-up, you get a secured login mm-hmm. and sign the contract. And so that's what's happening on the submitter side to be able to tap into the system.
Right.
But then the extra Department of Revenue certification would add the functionality of you can throw your quad form away. You no longer have to write it or type it. You can now register there, complete that online, and then either print it out with the document you're going to print it over the counter yeah. or save it.
It does seem to me that this is sufficient but not necessary to do the ECRV because there is a whole group of submitters that are at the well that are your customers.
That's correct. Already
that you know we probably want them to be aware at least for a period of time and then we'll ease that restriction as well. But
why not put so we're going to do a trusted submitter page to the ERC website and just put a link in. Information then to the ECRB, Department of Revenue?
Yeah, we could add one more paragraph if you're transferring. If it's a sale transaction.
More so they're informed than anything else. You know,
yeah.
Some sort of cross-reference.
That would be very helpful because we train as a new submitter comes on. We train what the ERER has agreed to. I mean, previously, of course, it's been what's the approved doc type list. But now, this is a great new feature functionality. Here's the website link. You have to go do that as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that gets kicked off again with
a better process.
That'd probably be easier if we could make that adjustment and route it to you. That's essentially, if you're going to, any sale transactions must follow the ECRV process, and you must register at this place and then push it everyone.
And that's less confusing.
Yeah.
Agree.
And then we just state that that's the only way you can do an e-recording, so they understand that you can't e-record any other way than doing with an ECRV. Okay. So we can right. state something when ECRV is required. I don't know if we necessarily have to say sale transaction.
And then maybe our cross reference can be well if you're actually wanting to be a service provider for trusted submitter status, you need to. Look at this. Because the ECRV portion doesn't do that.
In essence, if anybody wants to record electronically in Minnesota, they have to, the submitter has to sign that agreement with us. If they choose to do transfer documents, they also need to somehow be registered with you
right.
for ECRVs.
For the time being.
For the time being.
So you just, I'm like I said, it's kind of clear as mud and just walking through it here. But if Rob is, or just say Rob's a not First American, he's just a guy who has a little title company in Martin County, and he goes through Simplifile or in IndyCon, does he have to sign an agreement then with the Department of Revenue?
If I'm doing an ECRV...
So I have to notify all of my people in my county if they want to, and that's not a difficult thing for me, but others it may. If they want to do that, even if they're going to submit through you guys, they have to do it. You could have...
A one-step registration process.
It's the only way. It's not different than today, though.
Because they won't be able to do an ECRV unless they've done that first already, anyway, right?
Registered.
Yeah. Again, let's just go back to the purpose is for notification. So, okay, I'm not gonna audit to make sure that every submitter that happened to, submit, went through this registration process. But Rob is right that the person that's doing the submission, i.e. entering the form, we would like them to register with us so that if something happens during this process or it has to change in some way, we know how to get a hold of them. Yes, it's true that if they go through Simplifile and we notify Simplifile because they've registered, that Simplifile could go back and notify them. That's possible. And if the case were that Rob hadn't registered with us, will the sky fall? No. But we would prefer for the Robs of the situation to register with us, at least for now.
Now, does that also apply to the person who, just the title company who's sitting there and just saying, "Well, I just want to do this electronically, but I'm going to print it out and submit it to the county." Do they also have to register then, even though they're not electronically submitting it, they're printing it out?
No. I mean, right now, we're not officially saying that we allow that.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
You haven't heard that.
So the short answer is, what we're saying is if you're going to do an e-recording submission of using the ECRV front-end form, we want you to register. So how's that for the language?
But are you going to preclude me from registering? Have you got a control number? Do I have to have a password and user ID to get in and use it?
Nope.
So if I go on your website and I happen to see it, and I go, oh, gosh, I could do this. Oh, I'm going to download and print this. I'm going to record it. I wonder what will happen.
Right.
If the county will take it, it'll probably happen.
Right, yeah.
And there's no handcuffs?
No, but if it doesn't happen, we told you that you should be registering with us.
Can we just put a date?
I mean, that's the whole point. Because if the county, they could be registering with us and say, well, if the county hasn't registered and the county's not ready for ECRV and they receive your document and they look, I don't know what this form is.
Could we just say until December 31st of 2011 that we have that provision in there that you have to do? Give it that kind of timeline and say until December 31st, 2011, that you get your submitters to register with DOR.
Let's make it September 1.
September 1. Okay.
Because we're not going to go past that.
Okay.
I don't want to administer this portion of it either. It's only because we're just starting going and we want some an awareness of who's submitting, who's doing this.
If you want to increase your productivity and not buy forms,
you
have the privilege of signing up online with the Department of Revenue where you can process your CRV electronically.
You need some marketing materials, Jason. I think I know where you're going.
And Kay, it would be more on.
You're on the recorder right now.
It would be more on someone like myself or Dalen to make that communication known than the counties, right?
When the county signs up, I simply say, please remember to notify your submitters that they should register with us. Now, on the county side, have I taken pains to try to describe all the different kinds of submitters there are? No, I have not. And, it'd be a little pointless for me to try to do that. There's lots of different types of submitters out there, and some are at Dallin's level that we're talking about in Simplifiles, and some are the person that's providing the PDF to Simplifile. So, in my mind, the submitter is the one that's filling out the form.
Okay.
Have
you got that mud down now, Kay?
Well, I just, we have 60 recorders out there who aren't doing any recording, and issues like this make them say, I'm not going down that road.
Right.
If it's not clear enough or simple enough to do it, they're not going to go down the road because they're not going to have the volume of e-record documents to put the effort into it. And if it's too much effort, it's easier taking paper because they don't see the efficiencies in e-recording.
In this case, it's the sentence is simply, please remind your submitters to register with us. It's not, you must have your
the
submitters.
Recorders have to understand even that.
So two quick points to that, Kay. I would love to have at the MACO conference the sample of the new form and talk to all the recorders and say, you can accept this quad form that you've been used to, or you can accept this, and show them visually if they get accepted over the counter. So I think that's a great education on the recorder side.
But then Jason couldn't be at that meeting because he never said that.
As soon as it's approved, which
right.
Really
well, and on an e-recording basis, the answer is yeah. You know, if you're ready to do e-recording, then yes, that's the choice that you have.
Now this only goes to, you know, this just isn't. We have auditors and treasurers that need this explanation as well, and they will be at the conference, but we also have assessors who aren't going to be there, and they're the ones who really use, we don't use, and neither really do the auditors and treasurers use the ECRV.
That's actually why, you know, the county has to register for the county to become fully aware of what the steps are and that this is a new form. That's why that's in place. You can't select any county right now. You have to select a county that I know that all portions of that county are prepared to receive this. And that's why we can't turn... That's a good example of why we can't just suddenly say, oh, yeah, the whole state could use this front-end electronic form, just print in a printed version of it, because, you know, most of the staff in all the counties would just go, whoa, well, we get a lot of phone calls. So...
On the submitter side, it takes about an hour right now to get somebody signed up, get the bank account information, validate the bank account information, get them secure passwords, and get them e-recording. So, that part of that hour easily will be educating. If you choose to do CRVs, you also need to register with the Department of Revenue. Here's the link. And once you've done that, then here's the functionality. So as far as the submitter side, it's very easy, and in my opinion, extremely welcomed, because our customers want electronic usefulness. On the county side, I'm hoping, Kay, that we could partner to educate. The form looks slightly different, and it's not going to be pink, green, and white, etc. But your process, if the county receives the paper CRV over the counter that they generated online, the process should be the very same. There are signature boxes in the information box that are just going to be slightly different.
I would also throw out there, too, that once a presentation and the initial information is put out there with the links and even a minimal amount of information on the UCC website will be a resource that a county or a submitter will be able to refer to, go back to, and at least find that direction to the DOR's website that talks about the registration, or to take you to the county portion for registration. So that there's a simple link. We talked about this before. I think it's just the difficulty of finding the information, first of all, is difficult unless you remember who to call and say, hey, where do I find this information? So I think that also will be helpful once the initial information is thrown out there as an educational outreach.
I think what we've talked ourselves into a little loop here is that that's probably the best change to only make is just the cross-reference link. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable with that. It keeps it simple, and we're just making sure that we're linking back and forth.
I just looked at your list, Jason. We have here. Anoka, Clay, Comet, Clay, Dakota, Lyon, Martin, Pope, and Wabasha.
Yes.
That are what?
They are registered for e-recording, use of ECRV. And that means that I've met with them, I've given them a demo of it, I've described what the process is. They know that they're going to get a form with the county data section printed on it that's not the four part.
Hey Jeff, it's Bear.
Form. and that they're going to be able to receive that inside their county without be able to process it.
So where are those counties again? Anoka, Clay,
Nooka, Clay, Lyon, Martin, Pope, Wabasha.
Is it? I'm just having Jeff look up our the MACO website to see. There are no links anywhere on there to the DOR or this, are there?
The last time I looked, no.
I don't know if we asked Chris to ever link that in or not.
No, it was just to the commission.
Okay.
I think so. Yes, I think you have. I think you have. You've got my email, right? Just send me an email and I'll send you back a confirmation.
Jason, are you comfortable with submitters? Let's say, for an example, an county wanted to sign up with you.
Yes.
Making it possible for submitters to do ECRBs. And even if they weren't doing recording at that point, electronic recording?
If that came across my desk, I would have an internal discussion at DOR.
Okay.
And if the steering team feels that that's okay, then we'd proceed. That would be in advance of, you know, the new version of the application, and it would, and you know, I mean, it opens up a door of causing a stampede of suddenly everyone wanting maybe to do that part of the process when we're really not quite ready. We, you know, we're trying to phase this in with, you're the e-recording counties, let's get them signed up. But you know, if a county's knocking on my door wanting to get involved in ECRB, I'm not gonna ignore them. I'm gonna start working with them.
But the piece that you talked about having people print them and that's really summer of next year.
That's really summer of next year. Okay. Yes. And, you know, unless if we've got 30 counties that are registered by the end of February for e-recording, and you know, we have the chance of feeling comfortable that we can. You know, the issue is the marketing issue. I mean, it's being able to tell all submitters, hey, go ahead and use this, where the counties aren't going to get blindsided by a new form. We just can't blindside the counties that way. And the form is also going to wind up changing through this technology consolidation. They're going to change, the form is going to wind up looking slightly different than it does today. So there's, you know, there's a timing issue on that marketing effort too. So, you know, if a county showed up, you know, at my, you know, door that talking that way, I'd at least bring it up to the steering team and we'd, you know, discuss it. It's just not a problem I'd had.
What if a county wanted to pilot with two or three submitters to allow them to do all their submissions using the ECRB tool, and they would be printing out paper copies of them to submit with their paper recordings? Would that help you at revenue at all?
We would listen to that county.
Okay.
You know, if they weren't, you know, county numbers between 20. No, I'm just kidding. I assume that you're thinking of Hennepin in this case, but
I could be, yeah.
Could be. So we would, you know, we would discuss that. I mean, obviously, we want to work with counties to figure out how to get them, you know, moving. And since it's an awareness issue, if the county is saying, look, we're working in our internal process, this is how we'd want to do it, you know, the awareness has to go back to, you know, our reps also.
But what I'm thinking of is if there are some companies that are on the forefront, on the vanguard of doing e-recording, one of the things I keep hearing from customers is that being able to do everything one way rather than having to go back and forth is more to our advantage.
Sure.
And what I was thinking is if there happened to be some, maybe a county that wasn't quite ready to do the e-record yet, might be willing to say, but we are willing to accept the ECRB on a PDF that they can, you know, so that they could right. go in and use that. But I hear what you're saying. You don't want it to be carte blanche, open to everybody. But if it was a more controlled environment, which is really what you're trying to do with the electronic submission also, it would be another option to at least discuss. So
and that's why we'd have to discuss it. I mean, I can just, you know, if you start thinking about it a little bit, okay, well, now you've got submitters that are going to that county, and they're thinking that this is an available tool for them to that county. Well, that submitter is naturally going to say, well, I want to be doing this to every county that I'm working with.
Right, and those submitters might happen to be the same submitters that might be on the vanguard of doing electronic recording in that county in the future, too.
So that are already doing electronic recording
in another
counties like Dakota that
right.
accept it already.
Right.
So, right.
So, you know, some of us
are already doing it two different ways already.
Right.
And the closer we could get to the way we're actually going to be doing it
for the future, would be better.
Right. Exactly. And you know, and I think that that's part of that marketing thing is to search, you know, try to say, hey, we're opening this up to everyone. I mean, we went through this little cycle here of defining a new process for the e-recording piece. That's what causes a little bit more confusion about, well, which version are you talking about and which way, and, you know, the clear as mud description that Kay described. You know, so the more wrinkles we throw into this during the six-month period, you know, we want to get to that point where we're saying statewide, everyone can use this form, whether they brought it in via paper or whether they give you the ID, whether they give you the PDF, and that's a more strong single marketing message.
Okay.
That, you know, if we're going to do something in advance of that, we'll talk, but there are some negatives.
Okay. Well, Jason, thank you again. It's been a very helpful, helpful discussion. Before I close it up, anything else? Anybody? Thank you. Let me roll back the agenda here. Welcome, Kay. We heard that there was a little snow between here and Fairmont.
Mostly up here.
Are you are you going to be able to get home tonight?
Same way I came up.
Anyway, Kay, I kind of announced that we were not going to have minutes from the previous meeting. There's been a number of issues that have detained the LCC on a number of other issues here with the changes that are taking place in Minnesota that they're kind of in the midst of trying to support right now. And I told Diane that that was perfectly fine, that we would get minutes out from the previous meeting. The other item that I asked to just to bring about and that we'd come back to was the telephone conference call that we all had after the last meeting where we wanted to consult with our board members that were not here in order to take a vote on the addition of the documents that we basically approved at the last meeting, but we wanted to have a quorum and have all of our colleagues available. Kay, I'd indicated that to the group here that we did have that telephone conference call the following week on Monday. I believe it was a Monday. And that all of the members on the call were in agreement for the approval. And what I wanted to do is put it on the agenda for kind of a ratification vote so that everybody would have that on a formal meeting for approval. And that's kind of what I added on as item number four on the agenda for today. So I certainly would be willing to entertain a motion to approve those documents as conferred at our telephone conference call back last month.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the additional documents that have been added to the electronic recording list. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? They have been approved and added to our formal list, and we will have Diane add those to the website. In addition to the original 63 dock names that were out there. So thank you very much on that. Let's go down to item number six on the agenda then, and the trusted submitter grouping.
Okay, and like we've already discussed a little bit here is the trusted submitter statement of commitment. We had discussed this at length before, made a number of changes, and I think we're really down to the last statement. Eileen had reviewed it and was clear with that, everything except I think that was Eileen's comment, mm-hmm. right, Diane, that says, and it's this one statement, I think we maybe just need to clarify this one. It says, trusted submitter, subject to county communications, rendering, and payment consideration. So I think she's just saying, what does that mean? We just need to clarify that statement. I think we can do that and essentially add another, as we're talking, I think we can essentially encourage trusted submitters to register with DOR. This may be one, but I think it's important that we really list out as well that all transfer documents require an ECRB as well, and I don't think we've really touched on that here. I mean, I know that we essentially say you have to, play by the rules, and that would be considered one of the rules. But I think it probably wouldn't hurt to state that we have to that electronic recordings require that ECRB. So I think what we could do is come back with both some clarifying language on that statement, and then add this piece. And I think we can do that pretty quickly.
With the statement in question, and I'm sorry I don't have my previous copy with me, but I think it was supposed to have read, and I think trusted submitter may just be reiterated improperly. Trusted submitter may then submit electronic documents to any authorized county without further validation, comma, subject to county communications, rendering, and payment considerations. But I don't have the original comment.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure that is indeed the truth. That just kind of sticks in my mind.
I think we have one here.
This one? Is that what you're...
It's the draft version.
I don't have a copy of that.
Mine's sitting in my laser printer.
I have a copy of the original document from the MACO website. I'm sorry.
It is on the MACO?
I actually found the Trusted Submitter Agreement, yes, on the MACO website in the archives section.
Back in resources. I got an X on here. How do you X on it?
Go back.
Yeah, just go back.
And I think that was copied from the Secretary of State's website when it was housed there.
Probably was.
And that's what you were reading to us, Rob?
That was what my recollection was of what the statement should have been. Mike, I don't have that original copy.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Here's the old one.
Payment considerations.
Submitting the statement of commitment and after the scheme and validation by a participating county, the trusted submitter may submit documents to any pilot county subject to communication, rendering, and payment mm-hmm. considerations of that other county.
I think in the markup for this current draft, somehow trusted submitter got stuck in there when those statements were attempted to be combined.
And then we just added without further validation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So you're basically just dropping it?
Dropping the two words trusted and submitter and putting a comma after validation.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be it, and then I think we could just need to come up with some language around encouraging the trusted submitters to register with DOR. Or do we put that in instructions?
Well, you actually could put that down in process under
process.
Trusted submitter to process. Develop a plan as follow. Part of that plan would be you should be checking that.
That's correct. It's easy.
Yeah. Just put number E and just say check those.
So if we leave it website. As this, and then we can modify the instructions as we need. As we need.
Sure.
Then if we could approve this today. As is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the instructions will be added to.
Yep, and we'll just modify the instructions.
And I think you just add another number that just says for those submitters submitting transfer documents, make certain you register with DOR for using ECRVs.
At.
Something to that effect.
Yeah. Because technically, you don't have to be DOR. An ECRV if you never have a transfer document, so
right.
It shouldn't be really a requirement. But if you're going to do a transfer, it's in the instructions.
It's
if that's what you need, then we're good.
Okay. And that's I think all you have to do then is put that on the instruction page.
Yep.
And just add another number on there for that. I think that takes care of it. There was a little where did I catch? There was a typo here too. It was county. Oh, on the instruction process number 6. Submit the form to the C should have gone after authorized with the county. This was on the draft thing. Did it get?
Oh, I don't know. What came with that?
6 is fine here.
Yeah, no.
It got fixed.
The special version.
It got fixed on the.
It's for you.
Yeah.
It wasn't highlighted to be fixed, but it got fixed. Okay, that was the catch.
Yeah.
That was the catch. Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad.
Let me see if anyone's reading.
It's hard to teach us old guys new tricks, you know.
Okay.
All right.
What letter was missing from your version, Jeff?
Already corrected out, but it.
Rob, you and I are the only ones that qualified. We bought the missing things, right? All right. Do we want to take a vote on this, or do we just want to proceed and issue it out on the web? I'm certainly comfortable in just putting the item out, but maybe what we ought to do is approve the agreement portion subject to the instructions being finalized to be put out on the web.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to put the statement of commitment from trusted submitters to be approved and put out on the web. Although it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the matter? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's passed. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jeff, for pushing to get this finalized so that we can get it out on the web.
Should really be thinking Kay and Rob.
Yeah. All right. Kay and Rob, thank you for pushing our buttons so that we get it out there on the web. I think this will be important at the meeting at MACO in having this available electronically on the web so that we can have that, as well as not to mention for your subsequent meetings with all of your other groups.
And then the last thing, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago, right, Marty? Were you at that recent meeting, MLTA? Communication or education session? No,
it was the
purchase agreement.
Current Issues Advisory Committee group, and I.
Current Issues Advisory Committee.
Thank you.
And I was not at that one.
Anyways, we brought up as well at that meeting, talked about the update on e-recording, but essentially reiterated that if you were to the title agents that were there, if your county is not e-recording, the best way to move e-recording is to call that county recorder and say you are interested in doing this, you want to get this going. That's the most effective way so that that any county recorder understands that it's real, that people really want to do this. So we've been kind of adding that plea at every meeting, and thanks to Ronnie Simlak, we've been
pushing that forward.
I think that's really good because that's going to be the motivator. The motivator is going to be the submitters to do it because they're going to be calling for action. Again, e-recording is just a different... It is the way in the future of how we are going to get our documents. It's not a different process or necessarily the most efficient process with the CRV, but it is the process that we're going to have in the future, and we all need to look at that. That being said, I went on the MACA website and pulled out the... we talked about 29 different counties that are e-recording or have... had requested to e-record in the state of Minnesota, and of those, not all of those are accepting e-record documents, correct?
No, I think our number is 28. I don't know if yours is.
I didn't know. I have some question marks on several of them.
Yeah, and of
when
that,
I pulled them up off of our
most documents vary on.
That's the issue. Most of them are not accepting mortgages and deeds.
Well, I counted a guesstimate of 17 that may be, and I had a question mark on probably 8 of those.
8 of them that were out there?
I don't know.
Which ones did you?
These were the counties that I had picked off of this sheet, or off of our MACA website that are marked as e-recording or have gone to. Of those, I know that several of these aren't. I know that Faribault County is not, and I questioned some of the others if they were. Wilkin, Wadena, Big Stone. I wasn't certain if Wright was in the metro area.
Wright is.
Limited
doc types.
But not.
That's the concern, is the limited doc types,
right,
too.
Right.
I can piggyback on that in preparation for the MACA conference, I would really love the recorders to understand that they have control over any doc type. I think there's a fear that they have to limit it because they can't control it. But every single time, as you know, I'm preaching to the choir, a document comes in, you have control over that document. Yeah. You can reject that document for any reason. So to not have all of the categories is really a misnomer.
And it's a lot easier to reject the document in any record process than it is in the paper document, because that's all it is typing a reason.
And
you don't have to initial it or sign your name. You just click reject. So it really is a lot easier.
But our experience is we'll get it fixed and back to you quicker too then.
I think so,
because
too.
It just closed yesterday or today, and we still know how to find the parties, and they'll still respond, whereas even that 2-3 weeks later, we start calling somebody and we're junk mail, or we send them a letter, we're just junk mail. they don't read us anymore, and they don't respond as quickly.
I got my money.
That's a very, very good point, because that moves the process along faster for all of us. I know there's some concerns. I don't know if Bonnie's on the call, but I know that Bonnie and I had used a service that Fiddler had called, it's called WIP or something. I can't remember anymore. I don't use it anymore, but it was, we kept track of all our rejections. Well, you had to go back and go on to they were saved, and we had to go and look for them then and find all these rejections, and then we would pull these all things, and it was just very, it's cumbersome, it's helpful, but yet, because we have a tracking of the rejections, but, you know, you have one that was 6 months away, and it's like, whoa, you don't even know if you look back that far enough.
And if it was a husband and wife and they're not talking anymore, whatever, good luck. And, you know, if they just closed yesterday, presumably they understand they should still be around and ready to re-sign some if they need to. But 2 months later, when they've been fighting about something else, on the way.
And it is amazing. Anytime I get a letter from an attorney or a law firm through the snail mail, as I call it, I react differently to it nowadays. And 10 years ago, I'd have said, fine. And I'd maybe react differently to the email. Today, I react to the snail mail the way I used to react to email a decade or more ago. And I say, why in the world are they doing it this way? It's so much more cumbersome. It's going to take more time on my people's part to, you know, get a letter in the mail and get it back to them. I can give you a response back here in 10 minutes, and you'll have it. And that does pick up speed, up turnaround time, and we all seem to be married to this stupid machine, and it's not going away anytime soon, and you'll get a better and faster response. Maybe not better, but faster.
Even reject is a better response.
Yes. You at least know.
Right.
You at least know.
Yep. Sooner. I get the bad news sooner then.
Yeah. And then action can be taken.
But I'm still working on that file then. If I get that reject 2 months ago or 2 months right. from now and that file's off in archives.
And you've forgotten about it then.
How do I find it and track it down? And yeah, it's.
Yep. Yep.
We're preaching the choir here. But
no, a very good point.
Is there a way that, well, I suppose we can maybe do this at the MACO conferences, maybe just, it would kind of be nice to know where these counties really are at. If, you know, if they've signed up to eRecord, are they active eRecorders?
Well, and I think, I just...
Maybe we should have them all stand up at the conferences. Yeah. You know.
write them down.
All those
and list out what
which document types
are accepted.
I can read them off.
If you have more than 3 documents, sit down. Yeah.
We want to have all the recorders stand up.
This big screen TV.
Provided by Simplifile.
Okay, I think we start off by getting them all to stand up and want to thank them for all the hard work they've done this past year. Now, those of you that are doing some electronic recording, we want you to continue standing. All the rest of you have to sit down.
Shame on.
Right.
Because we have not had anyone approach us for a new county sign on.
Anoka is probably the only one that I know of that has, well...
There was a question on the resolution. That was about a county resolution, like how they got, if they need a resolution or not, for becoming a recording.
Yeah, and we
told
them.
That was about a year and a half. I can't remember.
That was about a year ago, at least.
Yeah, I can't remember the county on that one. That's the only one I can recall.
Yeah. Anoka is the only one that I know of most recently that has taken the action. They've been testing to do e-recording, and I know they signed up for ECRV with the state here in just the last few months.
They're
listed on the state's log, yeah. But I don't think they were on our MACO log.
Because we wanted to be ready to go.
Yep. They had their ammunition packed and their holsters on their side.
That's right.
Yep.
Hopefully next month.
Fantastic.
That's great, Larry.
Yeah. And Washington said, well, she was here at the last meeting sometime during this next week.
Yep.
I think they've got an RFI or RFP out or something. And
their RFP closed yesterday.
Yeah,
and
I think they'll be starting the process here pretty soon, too.
Yep. Yep. And as soon as we fill our technical position, we'll be back in the business of testing and try to move our process forward. So, anyway, if you want to know where Hennepin's at, that's where we're at right now.
We were going to get around to asking.
I figured you would, so.
Okay, prodding.
I figured you didn't even need to do any prodding, so. But, yeah, we'll, and I heard some encouraging things from you are today that will, I think, make some things possible that I wasn't sure were going to be before. So that's encouraging, too.
So that's 3. If Washington's mid-year.
Washington.
Or is it like cases, is that a full?
I think it's, are they talking a full system or just the e-recording piece on it? I think
Washington's looking at a whole new.
I'm still in the call of the full system, including the e-recording.
Okay.
And I don't think I'd put any timeline on that one at this point. Jennifer, would you?
End of January?
February's too soon, yeah.
Well, I've opened the RFPs, but that's almost as far as I've gotten so far.
Well, at least you got some responses.
That's true. I was having anxiety dreams about it.
They all want to be in the Golden East. Don't you still have the highest average individual income of any county in the state of Minnesota there, Jennifer?
I think you want to move to the Golden East, Mike.
Anyway.
We'll be happy to record your deed and mortgage when you do.
You want to rent. Rent first.
First month.
I can't afford to live in that rich county out there to the east. Anyway.
Jeff Walker.
Question, is Jeff Walker on the phone with us? No? Okay. Just wanted to double check to see if he'd called in. Well, with that, I'm gonna move on to the subcommittee report from the county recorders. And before that, I've got what? Rob, you've got a question?
I do, Mike. With the last meeting, and I had called in, we talked about a committee for looking at additional document types and the process for that. Was that going to be a subcommittee under the trusted submitters, a separate committee? How would we like to work that out, and would it be appropriate to bring that up at this point?
Well, let me turn over to Mr. Deline, because he got the list of documents that you gave us the last time, and we kind of empowered them to at least take it and at least begin a process to look at it, and I don't know if they've even had an opportunity to meet yet since we met last month.
Okay.
But that process, to me, would include the identification of those documents, and if need be, bringing in people like yourself or others to make sure that we understood what the documents were, particularly if we're going to begin to look at non-uniform conveyancing blank type documents. And I think those would be the ones that will be most critical that we have some more input on in doing that. But, Larry, maybe you can give us an update if your committee has even had a chance to meet here since last month.
The only thing that I can add to what you just said is that, no, we haven't had a chance to meet. We hope to meet next week.
Okay.
And I should add this. Chris couldn't make it here today. She sent me an email, and she wanted to check with you if you would be available to meet with her and Larry next week.
Yeah, I would absolutely be willing to do so, and would like to. I don't know, Larry, if we could trade emails or what have you, and set up a time to meet or a phone call, what have you.
Yep.
Larry, I might ask, the dot type list that you received, was it just the straightforward list, or was it one that was highlighted?
You know, I don't really recall if it had highlights on it or not.
Okay, what I think I will do, because I had, pursuant to Mike's request for the last meeting, sent out the list with highlights on the document types that that would be most, we'd be most interested in looking at that are not conforming.
Okay. I'd be happy to get that from you, Rob.
Great. I'll resend that. Actually, I'll resend it to the distribution list for the entire commission, just so it's out there. And then we can use that as kind of the starting point for meeting on that.
Right.
Great. Thank you, Larry.
Right.
Yeah, and Rob, if you could send me your availability next week.
Sure.
Would it be helpful?
Yep.
Okay.
So, again, you'd like it to go through the whole stakeholder list?
I think so.
That sounds like a good idea.
And maybe what I could do is re-forward it to you, Diane, with some comments on it, because the list was taken from a list that is available in Cass County, North Dakota. Not all of those documents are documents that we see in Minnesota, and so I want to make sure that the stakeholders understand that that's the context of the list, and then the highlights, I think, will become much more apparent for the reasoning of the highlights.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. Yep. I'll try to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Now I do believe the one that I got didn't have any highlights on it.
Okay.
Because I thought, boy, there sure are a lot of documents that we don't use here in Minnesota.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Wasn't that just a lot of affidavits, though? Weren't they like
different types of affidavits, and it would go into, you know, rather than just an affidavit, it would describe
I like the idea of having the ones that are most important highlighted.
Yeah.
So we don't have to wade through the whole list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm in the office Monday and Tuesday next week. I'm traveling after Wednesday, so I won't. Okay.
I'll make sure I get it to you then tomorrow.
Okay,
so that
sounds fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Week.
No worries.
Larry, did you have anything else then?
No, I think that's it, Mike.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Well, same to you, Mr. Auditor, Treasurer, Recorder. item number 7, the MACO conference. put this on here because I thought we need to talk a little bit about it, and now that I see we've got most of the people that volunteered to help us with the session here, that we can discuss it a little bit. My esteemed colleague Kay and I had some discussions earlier this week about what's happening around the state, where are we running into issues and challenges and getting more counties e-recording, particularly deeds and mortgages. And I think we came into a conclusion that we have been preaching to most of our colleagues for some time now, meaning those of us on this side, and we are convinced that they need to hear from you more than ever, that you're A, ready, B, willing, you've taken the plunge, you've made the investment, and that this is in the best interest of our state, certainly in the best interest of real estate interests around the state, and that this is the mode of business transaction that we're going to be encountering, and that we ask you to join with us to come on board and make this happen, and that this is critical. Because we need some sort of a kick, I think, from you all in the private sector to make certain that our auditors, treasurers, and recorders know that they have to work together in their county to find a solution for how to make this happen and cross whatever abyss there may be that takes place between auditor, treasurers, and recorders, and to know how important it is to overcome that gap so that we can make certain that commerce moves more smoothly and efficiently in the state of Minnesota. And I think it's best at this point, they've heard it from people like Kay and Mike and many of the other recorders for some years, and even Janine with her approach didn't always get them to approach it that way, but I think now it's time to hear from you all. Because in the past, many of you were a little hesitant about getting on board with this, but boy, you've taken the plunge now. I understand that loud and clear. And I think everybody needs to understand that around the state. And I think you all can do that very well. What Kay did that I appreciate very much when we discussed was kind of having a time slot. We've got about an hour and a half at the conference to fill on electronic recording. One of the things that we had discussed about doing is that Bonnie Rader from Clay County was willing to participate and kind of share some issues of how she had moved this forward. My thought was that Bonnie has been the Recorder of the Year. She's also in a border county that has issues that are competitive in nature, which I think we all need to hear a little bit about. She's been willing to take the gauntlet and run with it. And she happens to have a sister that was an auditor-treasurer in her county and has a little respect in a manner that's a little different than perhaps other recorders have in that sense. And I thought she and her auditor could give a little overview of how they've worked together on some things. My little disappointment concerning that was that her auditor is too shy and doesn't want to be up on the podium and the stage and will be happy to answer questions in the audience. But half the message was to have Bonnie and her auditor there on the stage together, you know, moving this ahead together, which they've done, because that's part of the message. And, you know, I've not had a chance to talk to Bonnie about it. I know she's not on the phone today, but we might want to talk. Bonnie?
Mike? Yeah?
You are there.
I came late. I was late, but, yeah, I finally got here.
Ah, good. You must have gone through all that snow with Kay here, I bet, huh? But anyway, I think we're going to be very fortunate to have Bonnie on board to give that message again at the conference. And Bonnie, I'm going to talk to you about if there's any way we can convince your auditor to even sit up there at the podium with you. It's just that message of us all working together that I think is critical and important. And what do we have to get for her?
Yeah, she won't do it.
She won't.
Bonnie, what about your assessor? How has the conversations been going with your assessor in the ECRV?
Well, just fine. He's brand new.
Oh, that works. Tell him that's his duty.
Oh, so he doesn't know any other way. You're going to teach him. That's great, Bonnie.
This is the way it's done.
It's always easier to learn it brand new than to have to relearn something you've learned a different way. So,
yeah, Yeah, no, it's been okay working with him and our city assessor, because our city assessor, you know, has about half of the parcels in our county.
Okay. If we got your auditor treasurer a drink, would that help to sit up there with you? Or
it's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Mike.
Well,
it's afternoon.
It's 4 o'clock somewhere always, Kay. You just have to remember.
Mike, yeah. You said no before I ever had a chance to say what it was about, how long it was, how it would work.
When did you tell her, well, that's okay, we were going to offer you a big bonus, but now that we know you don't want to do it.
Yeah, obviously she just does not do presentations, which surprised me because she is not a shy little meek thing.
Really?
No.
Well, but could she be up there and be your assistant and push the button to change the slides?
She won't go up there. She won't be in front of people like that.
I see.
Yeah, I tried to do some convincing, and I tried to, you know, make it show that she didn't have to do too much. But no, it's being out in front of the people. She won't do it.
Hmm. Could we tell her she'll get a date with Joel Beckman, the president of the association, if she does it? Will that do it? Well, anyway, Bonnie, even without that, I hope you're still willing and able to kind of convey the message of working together between and among our offices to make this sort of thing happen, because that's what's, I think, so critical when you especially get into the deeds and the mortgage arena.
You'll have to give me more specific details, I think, than what you want, since it looks like I have 15 minutes and the list of things I was supposed to cover was pretty big, and now it looks like it's getting narrowed down. So
that's what we'll talk more about. I think forget about the timelines, at least right now. Although I've kind of come to the conclusion that the message from our submitters is the most important message that I think we need to have get across to all of our members, because I think it is going to be better received coming from them than probably any one of us on that front. But we can talk a little bit more about it. And that kind of gets into the topic I just shared with those of you that haven't seen. Sister Kay put together even a little an agenda for our hour and a half that included panel members and even some timeline suggestions. Jennifer and I had been spending quite a bit of time with Bonnie trying to get her on board to sell her wares of what Clay County has been doing, because, again, I think it's sometimes good for them to hear what's happening in the smaller counties, particularly border counties like what we've got so many of in Minnesota, and the competitive nature that goes on of what's happening on that business side. And, you know, they can always hear from the big county, but I know most of them don't care about the big counties. They do, but they don't in many sense. And I don't want to hog, you know, what Hennepin is doing, because right now we're not doing it, and we're a little bit behind some of the others. And I freely acknowledge that and recognize that. We hope to rectify that next year and be in a different spot. But I want to do everything I can to help find a way to promote this. We've added to the list those of you that were here and agreed to participate, and I'm really pleased you are, because you've really been the ones pushing behind this regularly here. You know, that's the reward you get for attending all the meetings, is we made sure you were all on the agenda here. So, Marty, you know, you and Rob, Janelle, thank you so much, Jeff. And we need to just have you all take the time to, you know, mainly address this topic of why this is important for your business and for real estate and commerce in the state of Minnesota, and that this isn't just a shot in the dark that you're just piloting, but this is going to move forward in the future. And it's not something that you can sit by and watch happen elsewhere. It's now is the time to start getting in the game and start playing and learning it. And we're going to certainly tell our counties that it's really pretty simple for anybody that has a vendor that is doing a recording now. Just talk to your vendor. They can help get that through in your county and make it happen. And then there are submitters that are also more than willing to work with you and your vendor, and they've already got those connections and those understandings, and just make it simple. And Dallin, I know we've got you there, and I know you'll give that pitch loud and clear. We've got Bill on the agenda, Maury, who also agreed, and Bill has been here constantly as a supporter, which I think we all appreciate very much, and I know Bill can give that message loud and clear from a vendor perspective as well. So I think we've tried to cover those waterfronts with our panel. I guess I would throw out, for those of you that are panel members, how would you prefer to proceed? Do you want to each take a few minutes to give that kind of message? Do you want to have a question-answer type thing with a panel? What's going to work most effectively? And I guess I just throw that out. Kay and I thought we might even talk with you about that here today.
I'd be open to either way, not having been to the conference before. I have a tough time judging on which is more effective from your perspective. It's also kind of a difficult timeline if you're going to have everybody stand up and speak. And then if Janelle goes before me, is she going to say the stuff that I was going to say anyway? Right. So from that perspective, maybe having a panel would be nice, so you can kind of direct it and guide it a little bit, but allow people to chime in. But I'm sure that the people that you mentioned there, if we had to have a quick get-together meeting sometime between now and then and try to figure out how not to step on each other's toes if we each went separately too, I'm sure we'd be able to do that and just figure out how to have a slightly different perspective while giving the same message.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way you guys think would be best for Mako, because
kind of like what Kay has set up here for the Q&A. And that way, if we can just basically either say, yep, that's the way we do it as well.
These guys don't have added it. It makes them. Oh, I didn't, okay. But I didn't forward this on to even Diane. You,
I kind of got it done late yesterday, so.
But let me give you.
And I spelt Janelle's name wrong. I apologize, Janelle.
Not a problem.
I've spelt it many ways. And you can spell my name wrong, too. That's fine.
I can pop over to one of the copiers before.
Good, you know, something copies. As simple yep. as each person kind of introducing themselves and perhaps giving 2.5 to 3 minutes of their history with e-recording.
Another one there.
And then maybe come up with some questions, some simple questions, and open it up.
So you don't need copies? Do you guys?
Well, I think we've all got them now.
Okay.
I guess you got my last one there, so you got them all. You got one and two there.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how it's set up here,
yeah.
Rob.
Right.
That way,
do the introductions.
And maybe the panel, the counties who have been involved with this process and attending these meetings could pose questions to us as well. If the audience doesn't come up with their own questions, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, I suppose, depending on.
We could get Bonnie's sister to
plant a few questions. Exactly.
I had 3 questions down here that I thought that each of you either could address or add in and make a discussion point of. Not necessarily each of you take a turn and say, this is my answer to the question,
right.
But that, you know, someone leads it off and that the discussion can just kind of ensue on the panel. Jennifer and Mike would, you know, could then jump in and, you know, kind of move you guys along. I think that's going to spur the audience questions more than anything because it sets them up into a mind frame that they don't understand, you know. They don't understand the process, particularly if we have only 17 or 18 out of the 28 or 29 e-recording counties that are actually doing the process. They don't understand who you guys are or what you do.
Right.
Kay, what are the questions?
What is your process in e-recording? I've asked that each person introduce themselves, their title, and their e-recording interest. You know that you know, Janelle, you've been on umpteen committees with e-record or with this ERC commission, and kind of your background and what your company probably does. But all of this has to be relatively brief. The next each panel member would do that because I think it shows a variety of things that you guys do in the process. First question is, what is your process in e-recording? So it'd be like, what do you, say, even physically do in the process?
the second question, what do you see as hurdles in e-recording with counties? So what are some of the things that, that you've run across that's difficult, you know, for Burnett Realty? Do you have problems because you, you can't find a county that does it or that type of thing? And what would you and your company like to see in Minnesota in e-recording? Is there something that maybe you do in another state or in another process, or what would you like the future to look like in Minnesota? Just something to kind of open it up and then...
And I'd give you one other one that I had written down, what I think is also critical, is that why have you decided now to start electronic recording in your business? And what reason, you know, what was the decision and the factor, and what are you looking for, what Kate had, the expectation then from government? What is it you're looking for from us?
That might be a better question than the last question, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And this is a 35-minute period of time. I think all of these, I wish we did have 2 hours. I think this, I wanted to get, you know, your session almost an hour, but we need Bonnie's piece in there, and unless we cut Jason off pretty quick so he doesn't confuse us too much.
Well, if there isn't too many questions for Jason...
Yeah, well, that's for Jason and for Bonnie. I just, you know, basically there are allotted, you know, 40 minutes. Well, we could cut that back down, too. That might not be the case. I'd like to give you guys more time.
Yeah.
But I think Bonnie's an important piece of all of that. I probably would say to cut Jason down and his time down, even though that's hard, too. Well, I could cut Mike and Jennifer's down right off the top. That's 10 minutes.
You could cut me down, but not Mike, I don't know.
The chair will take note of that comment.
In a minute.
Recording.
We don't know whose voice that was.
Yeah.
And hey, is that Thursday the 13th? Is that
Thursday the 13th?
That's correct.
Yeah, 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon at the Sheraton Hotel in Bloomington.
And the real piece, I think, as far as I'm concerned, coming from the commission, is mainly that we do have the documents now approved. Hopefully we'll have a slide that'll show the names of all of them for you. Maybe it'll flash even in the background here for us. Even talked about doing that so that they can see they're all there. And to just let people know that we want to just, you know, move forward. And we've got an agenda basically that's geared for this meeting to share what, you know, another competitive county has done to make it possible in their county to do the transition from paper to electronic, and how they're working together in that office between auditor and treasurer to be able to do deeds and mortgages and accomplish all the statutory responsibilities of both offices in dealing with those types of documents. And we've got a great panel of people here who are probably our best customers and our best supporters that have got a message to share with all of us about why they've done what they've done at this point in time and what their expectations are from those of us on the government side to move it, to help move it forward. And that's kind of where we end up then with and will we have questions? I think there'll be plenty of questions. I don't think there'll be much silence on this. Do you, Kay?
I don't think so at all. That's why I was thinking probably just because of having the panel, I think it would have been, wish we could have 2 hours. I'm trying to look what's coming up after our session. Oh, this isn't good. We're in competition with the state auditor.
We are?
Yeah, on the schedule. I didn't see that. So that would eliminate our auditors and treasurers.
Has the schedule been printed yet?
It's on the site. We're going to have to check and see.
This is Bonnie. Now I can't even guarantee she'll be in the audience.
We're going in. Well, the good, that's the bad news. The good news is that we're going into the break. And so we could, and the break's like a half hour, so we could extend the conversation into the half hour.
And most of us would be willing to hang around and just talk to people afterwards. Sometimes that's where you get the real stuff done anyway,
right.
Rather than extending the period of time for our session.
Well, we could just keep talking.
We'll just be there. And
they have a bar at Sheraton, right?
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
be there.
I'll check with Joel to see if this is the case. That could cause... Larry, are you aware of this? Larry, would you prefer watching our show or the state auditor?
Well, I think I'd probably send somebody else to see the state auditor.
Is the state auditor going to be on for an hour and a half?
1:30 to 2:30, the same time we have. I'll check with Joel to see if that's the case. And Pam?
Do you know what the state auditor's message is at this time of the year, Larry? What's that about? Do you know? I'm not familiar.
I'm really too sure, no.
I'll check. even with, and unfortunately, we really need the auditor treasurer there. Even though I think the recorders need this message, though.
Yeah.
Only 17 that are e-recording, why is it only 17 out of 87? That's 70. 70 counties aren't.
Even if the auditor treasurers aren't all there, you're absolutely right. The recorders need to hear this message also. And prior to then, I will make a rather concerted effort to find out where our friend Mr. Walker is and to chat with him, because I think it would be good that perhaps he's with us that day. And at least we have two auditor treasurers now that I know where Larry is going to be.
Well, we could get Joel there. There would be three.
You think so? We could even invite the state auditor to join us for this session.
Good. Or ask if they cut theirs in half.
Maybe she'd want to put in a pitch for this, too. She's a politician.
I think if you decide to tweak anything on here in terms of times, if you were able to get it switched or you want to change up the questions or whatever, I think we'll be able to apply.
The only thing we probably would be doing is adding more time for you.
Yeah. No, if you were to try and change the time slots, it wouldn't be against the auditor. I'm not suggesting anything here, but I think it looks great. We'll be able to make it work. And they'll be here, and it's a long enough time for them to be hearing our message, I think. And thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you guys for your willingness. You know, sometimes you volunteer for things and you kind of hold your nose at, but I gather that you are true believers in this one. Mm-hmm. And that's what I certainly appreciated last month, your volunteering and willingness to stand up and preach. Some will be the choir and some will be prospective choir members. We want to see if we can sell it to those and close the deal here. So, anyway. Well, thank you. Kay, I think we go back and do a little more discussion, and we'll brainstorm a few more questions. And if any of you got questions that you think need to be answered or ideas on how we handle it, and maybe we could shorten the introductions by one of us. Kay could introduce the panel, could tell a little bit about their backgrounds and why they're not in the correction system and they're in the real estate business instead. And
avoid it.
As opposed to me, who came from the correction system and went into real estate.
What's Utah doing in Minnesota?
That's why I made the comment. I had nothing to do with you guys, but one of my backgrounds. So, anyway. I think we can work on that. And Jennifer, thank you for your work on this. And Bonnie, thank you. And we'll be in touch with you about what and how we best fit your piece in, because I think yours is a wonderful kickoff at the beginning of how one county has, again, helped make this work in going to this transition for how we do business for the future. And then have the customers follow up with why they've made the decision and what they're looking for from us. And then we close it out with questions, and we can all have a toast, right? Do we want to have forms there for counties to sign up to electronically record right there? Maybe one of you wants to have some of those sheets ready for them to offer. You could tell them that you printed it right off our website. Anyway, anything else on that topic? That's kind of where we're at then. Anybody on the telephone have any other thoughts, questions on this item?
No, I think it sounds good, Mike.
Thank you, Janelle. Thank you all on that. Why don't we go on then? Anything else? Nothing? Let's talk about meeting schedule then. Remember, no meeting in the month of January. The LCC has some important business dealing with the Board of Regents and the appointment of new members to the Board of Regents. And Diane, I know, is...
Nominations to the legislature.
Yeah, right. And a few other sundry things that will be going on. But Diane is also doubly busy because Sally is enjoying motherhood at this point. So Diane is enjoying workahood at this point. So anyway, we won't meet again until February 16th, is it, Diane? 17th.
And the rooms haven't been determined because with the changes and stuff like that, some of the, you know, the person who deals with the responsibility, it's all right on flux right now, too. So.
And the February meeting will be the first one during legislative session, and we'll just see how that works in terms of space, people being able to get here, parking, and all that sort of thing. But I clearly have heard from those that have called in, and let me just ask those of you on the phone, how difficult has it been hearing? Are you able to hear the discussions okay?
It's great, except for the occasional whispering going on.
Every once in a while, we do. You're right, exactly, Larry. No, I think it's been very clear.
Larry said that.
I think it was just Larry we were talking about.
That whispering I heard.
Oh. Okay. Well, I think that does make a big difference, having the ability to have this type of conference call hookup. And I think, at least to me, it's worth whatever inconvenience there is for the parking around here to be able to accomplish that, which also is going to make it a lot easier for our staff. And considering what they're going to be going through here, I think I'm willing to make that sacrifice on that end as well. So
appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. Well, that's the schedule then. So anything else? Any other business items to come before the commission? Hearing none, I guess a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll move. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor? Thank you.
Right on.
Perfect.
Thank you all on the phone. Appreciate your participation.